And we are page on week 9 in the Immerse Kingdom series. We should have only gone to week 8. Bad Kathy. I was asked, are we finished? I said no, but I said I heard a lot of other classes aren't finished either. And we're still on what the law didn't allow, God's grace allowed. That's what I am subtitling the Book of Ruth. And we are going to look at Ruth 2 and 3. We truly are. We truly are going to. Al's giving me that look today. And today is August 7th, 2022. Okay. So, and it's also a Jewish observance today. Does anyone know what the observance is?
The destruction of the temple.
Yeah, Tish B'Av, it means Tish B'Av. Tish B'Av actually means the ninth of Av. And Av is a month on the Jewish calendar that equates to August. But because their calendar is not lunar. No, it is lunar. What am I talking about? It's lunar, and it's got some solar in there, too. But the dates change somewhat in that area, but it stays in the same season all the time. So Tish B'Av, what happened was in 586 B.C., when Nebuchadnezzar and his armies came down and took the kingdom of Judah to Babylon and took them into exile. The temple was destroyed in Jerusalem as well as Jerusalem. And then 586, okay, that's 586 B.C., on the ninth day of Av in 70 A.D., the same day Rome destroyed the temple, the second temple in Jerusalem. So, whoa. And then some other things happened on that day that you can actually find out about in by going to the Chabad website. And then check it out and see. Chabad, C-H-A-B-A-D. And also, My Jewish Learning is a good website. These are rabbinical Jewish websites. So you can find out some of the others. I think one of them was when the... I'm not even going to say. So, where are we in the Book of Ruth? What have we been pondering? Perhaps from last week. I'm glad that Michelle, when I asked her what should we sing, she said we should sing about our Redeemer, because we're learning about the Kinsman Redeemer. So what did we learn last week?
We're in the time of the judges.
Ruth is in the time of the judges. That blows me away. Yeah. And is Ruth a bridge? Ruth is like a bridge. The placement of the Book of Ruth, it's a bridge. You got judges, and even though it's in the time of judges, but anarchy, that's what's going on in the Book of Judges. And it's interesting that this family, as I mentioned last week, it just shows how you can have messianic theme throughout the Bible, even in the midst of chaos, like the judges' time was. But because my God is king, that's Elimelech or Elimelech's name, that his parents, who were living at the time of Judges, called their child that, my God is king. Whoa, that's like remnant time. That's part of the remnant. So Ruth is the bridge between the anarchy in the Judges and the kingship that we find in 1 Samuel. Isn't that interesting? Okay. Because, and Ruth is all about the season of grace as well. And Ruth is all about Jew and Gentile coming together, the Redeemer coming and saving, redeeming both the Jew and the Gentile. And isn't that sort of where we are right now, season of grace? But we have some anarchy spilling out into this time. There's always been chaos. And then we're not looking for the tribulation, because we're not looking for the Antichrist, right? If you're looking for the tribulation, then who are you waiting for? The Antichrist to sit on is the throne in the temple. And so we're looking for the rapture. Jesus to come, and after the tribulation, I believe that Jesus is going to, after the 7-year tribulation, he's going to come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's always king. He's always king, but he comes and he takes on that role of kingship. Right now, he's our great high priest. Right now, as far as the roles are concerned, he is our great high priest. And when he came the first time, what was he? Suffering servant. Lamb of God. Okay, so we've been talking about the connection between Ruth and Naomi, her mother-in-law, and how this is a love story. And you think, really? I mean, Naomi was a real pill. You know, I use that word a lot for Naomi because she actually returned to her land, to Bethlehem, in unbelief, just like Israel is supposed to return to, you know, the Jewish people, Israel, the nation of Israel, is supposed to return to Israel in unbelief. We're told that in Ezekiel 36 and also in Jeremiah 31. So we see Naomi doing that. She says, call me Mara, call me bitter, because God has lashed out against me, etc. But then we see what Ruth has already made a vow to God and a vow to her Jewish mother-in-law. So do you see the pieces of the big picture of the Bible that we're reading about in Ruth? And it's the barley harvest that they come into Bethlehem. Barley harvest, I mentioned it last week, and I think it was in your handout from last week. If you don't have a handout from last week, it's probably on the table over there. Okay, that barley harvest in Jesus' day and in their day was the Feast of First Fruits. Feast of First Fruits, because Jesus rose from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits. Everything links together. It's amazing. So here's Jew and Gentile together, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, at the barley harvest. They stay together through the wheat harvest. Wheat harvest, guess what? Pentecost. It's celebrated at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descended in, 10 days after Jesus ascended. And, there's just so much.
3 inches thick, 9 miles deep.
Oh, my word. So here, they're together, and we see in chapter 2, when I say they're together, Naomi and Ruth are together. Naomi's name who means pleasant, and Ruth's name means friend. And here comes whom in chapter 2?
Boaz.
Boaz, yes. And it says, and Bad Kathy didn't put some verses on your handout for you. So turn in your Bibles to Ruth 2, verses 1 to 3, because I picked up at Ruth 2, 4. I don't know why. A few things were going on at the same time. So Ruth 2, 1 says, there was a relative. That word relative means kinsman of, or kinsman means relative, of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. And Boaz's name means strength. He was a brother of Elimelech, and his name means strength. Boaz's name means strength. And who is our strong tower that speaks of strength? Jesus. And if you want the verse for that, that's Proverbs. My mind went blank. 18:10. 18:10. And he is our rock. He's our refuge. He's our redeemer. I'm strongly suggesting, along with many others, that Boaz represents Jesus in the book of Ruth. I believe that Naomi represents Israel in the book of Ruth, and that Ruth represents the Gentiles in the book of Ruth. And then verse 2 says, so Ruth the Moabitess, remember, she's come under the wings of God Almighty. She's come to faith in the one true God of Israel. And yet she's still called the Moabitess because she is always a Gentile. She will always be a Moabitess, but she's a child of God. Amen? So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him, in whose sight I might find favor, grace. So many verses in this book just, bring the gospel. And the both pieces, not the both pieces, but the pieces that we find in the Old Testament, one way of salvation about, you know, Jesus, the gospel, and then in the New Testament. She's looking for favor. She's looking for grace. She's looking for redemption. Because there were laws of redemption on the books, so to speak. And she knew that as a Gentile, she was entitled to certain things that we'll talk about. But isn't this lovely of Ruth to demonstrate her submissiveness to her mother-in-law? And her mother-in-law dropped down to, in your Bible, Ruth 2, the end of verse 2 and beginning of verse 3, she said to her, "Go, my daughter." Wow, she's not just a daughter-in-law now. Ruth is a daughter. Then Ruth left and went and cleaned in the field after the reapers. And Ruth happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now, I got to tell you, going back to the certain laws of redemption in the day, that there was the law of gleaning. How many of you know what gleaning is?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for your transparency.
Does it feel like to gather slowly?
Yes, like, to pick up what was dropped.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So it's
after the harvest, they were told to leave the corners of the field.
Yes.
So that poor and the needy could come.
Right.
Gather.
And the stranger. Yeah. Now, who was told that?
The Israelites.
Yes. Right, by God.
By God.
Mm-hmm.
So it was part, it's like, I think in Leviticus, like
18. It's actually in the midst of, I'm so glad you asked that. It's actually in the midst of the feasts. The feasts are all noted in chapter 23.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And you've got spring feasts and then you got the fall feasts. Because spring feasts happen when? In the spring, right? Fall feasts happen in when?
The
fall? The fall. Isn't that something? Yep. And what's in between? The summer. You won't find Jewish holidays in the summer. Other than, I call Tish B'Av an observance. We're not talking about festivities here. You know, they actually read the Book of Lamentations, the whole Book of Lamentations, and some of them, especially in the ultra-Orthodox synagogues, they'll sit on the floor, showing their poverty, you know, and having been attacked like this by the Romans and the Babylonians. So, but there's that verse. It's Leviticus 23, verse 22. And I'm saying that it's a little parenthesis in between. I'm using that term specifically. Between the spring feasts and the fall feasts, where God says, to the Jews, don't clear the edges of your corner. And, you know, that's why some of the Jewish men, especially ultra-Orthodox, will have the peyote, the side curls, and they take it from that verse about not clearing the corners of your field. So, but just a little, you know, more about the cultural. But leave it, provide. God's telling the Jewish people to provide for who, like Michelle said, the poor, the needy. It also says the strangers. Now, the poor could be both Jews and Gentiles. The strangers or the foreigners would be whom?
Gentiles.
The Gentiles. Yeah, yeah. Because what does Paul tell us, the Apostle Paul? You say, Kathy, we're in Book of Ruth. What are you doing in Romans now? You gotta go back and forth. Romans 11:11, Paul says that believers, Gentile believers, there are a lot of Gentile believers. There are Jewish believers now, too, but the population is smaller. So his church at Rome, were mostly made up of Gentile believers. It was mostly made up of Gentile believers. He said, "You're to provoke the Jew to jealousy. Don't get haughty on me," you know, he was saying. "To provoke the Jew to jealousy." And here we are in the season of grace, and we do have Jewish people around, many, and we're to provoke them to jealousy. And where I would say that the church, now you're going to think that I'm calling us a chopped liver, but we're sort of a parenthesis in the middle of God's plan for Israel. What I mean by this is God has a plan for Israel, God has a plan for the church. God loves all. God's plan of redemption is for the world. We know that when he told Abraham, and all the families of the earth will be blessed in the Messiah who comes, okay? So, but he, it's, when I say parentheses, I'm talking about in the midst of what God is doing with Jewish people. Because Jewish people are not his redemptive tool right now. The church is his redemptive tool. Okay, since we're talking about redemption, I want to bring that up. So, here, as a Gentile, Ruth has the right to go into a field and to glean, to pick up those stalks that were dropped, and to pick those up. And they weren't put into sheaves as yet, but that's what she could do. And she was destitute, both of them. Naomi and Ruth were destitute as widows. And she was looking for favor. She was looking for grace. And so here she is. She goes. She happens to go to the field, as I read in verse 3. That word happened, inspired by God, that word is, because it's in there. But that's God's sense of humor. Because this book of Ruth is all about God's providence. And here happened. She didn't just happen. It was God orchestrated. And field belonging to Boaz. So here enters Boaz, and you read in your handout, Ruth 2:4. Yeah, we're going to get through 3 today. Ruth 2:4, the Lord be with you. He says to his people, I love that. This is how, now does your boss, when you get to work, does he greet you like that? Something like that, like a big rousing, you know, joyful expression? But, and it would be great if he said, the Lord be with you. But Boaz says this to his employees, and they answered, the Lord bless you. What a wonderful relationship between boss and workers. And that's very, especially very unusual for the time of the judges, right? And Boaz sees Ruth and asks his servant in verses 5 to 6, whose woman is this? You know what? I didn't put that in there either, did I? No, of course not. I started in verse 8. Oh my gosh, I need to get a different person to do these handouts. So read in your Bible. Just stick to your Bible. I'll tell you when it's on the handout. So Boaz sees Ruth and asks his servant that is unnamed. Unnamed. We don't see the servant with a name. That's interesting, isn't it? What does it make you think of, servant unnamed? Well, at the Passover Seder, at the last Passover Seder with the disciples, Jesus is talking a lot about the Holy Spirit, and he says that the Holy Spirit will not speak on his own, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and that's in John 16, verse 13. So, interesting. Just throwing that out there as a suggestion that that's, and I really believe that we've got the Holy Spirit represented here by the unnamed servant. A servant, too. Holy Spirit, paraclete, means a helper. Helper, comforter. That's the biggest reason. Okay, so whose young woman is this? He asked the servant. So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is the young Moabite woman. See, always Moabitess. Who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. Boaz then speaks to Ruth and says in verses 8 and 9, and that is in your handout, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? That's kind of, that can be taken, you know, whoa, is that like too pointed? But my daughter, just think of that. Then he says, do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And you read that and you're thinking, what goes on in a field that he has to make that?
It stays in the field.
Yeah, well, I guess so. Very good. And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So I've got to tell you that in his Boaz phrase, my daughter, I find that interesting because my observation would be that that depicts an age gap between Boaz and Ruth. But to support that, it's been found by people, linguistic people, that whenever Boaz or Naomi speak, ancient Hebrew is what is found in the text. Not so when, you know, younger people are speaking. So Boaz offers Ruth from the vessels. That's something from the water vessels. That's something that's not done. The gleaners were the lowest of the low, basically. And so grace truly was extended to Ruth. And it goes in keeping with, she said, let me find grace in this field where I need to go to glean. Okay? So look at verses 10 to 12 of chapter 2. So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. So he is validating the truth that Ruth came to faith in the God of Israel. And we know, we talked a little bit about this last week, that the wings is used in various passages, and that's on your handout. In Exodus 19:4, when God said at Mount Sinai to the Jewish people, I have carried you on eagle's wings. In Deuteronomy 32:11-12, it talks about wings. And also Ezekiel, we talked about this one specifically last week, 16:8, within a marriage ceremony, because the chuppah, which is the canopy under which the bride and groom stand, many times the prayer shawl is put on that canopy, and the prayer shawl by many, especially ultra-Orthodox, is the prayer shawl is called wings, because it's so large, especially the ultra-Orthodox talis prayer shawl extends far, you know, so they can push off the world, and that's where that is considered wings. Okay. And in Matthew 23:37, Jesus said, what? How often I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you would not. David says in Psalm 57:1, in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge. So in verses 13 and 14 of Ruth 2, she said, let me find favor in your sight, she's speaking to Boaz, my lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants, because she was a Gentile, and she would be considered outside the covenant. That's what she would be considered. So now Boaz said to her at mealtime, come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar, which is sour wine. So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her. So here she's sitting with the reapers, with her boss. That was unheard of in those days, for the lowest of the low employee to partake like that. And she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And perhaps we're seeing communion like we know communion in our services. Since Pentecost, and here it is between Boaz and Ruth, and she was satisfied. I love that word satisfied, because she was satisfied in that communion with this one who represents Jesus, okay? And when she rose up to glean, I'm on 15 and 16, verses 15 and 16, Boaz commanded his young men, those young men, they must have been a handful, saying, let her glean. No, I don't know if he said it like that. Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Do not shame her. And it could have been because she was the lowest of the low, and they were, you know, they could have made a real big deal of that. Verse 16, also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So he was going beyond the letter of the law for sure, to have that grain, more grain, extra grain fall purposely for Ruth to pick up. So grace was extended. Verses 17 to 18, so she gleaned in the field until evening, and she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Now, an ephah was about 30 to 40 pounds. Okay, this speaks to abundance. That's what that is addressing, abundance. God provides abundantly, doesn't he? And I mean, she beat it out. It hit me yesterday when I was looking at that again. She beat it out. She was a strong woman, wasn't she? She beat out those that ephah of barley, and then she schlepped it into the city. And because it tells us she went into the city, and her mother-in-law, I love this, saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her. Ruth gave to Naomi part of her lunch, what she had kept on the side, what had satisfied her. Whoa, I got chills, and it's not from the Antarctic experience that we can get in this room sometimes with the air conditioner. But here was the Gentile sharing with her Jewish mother-in-law about the kinsman redeemer, okay? A Gentile sharing the representative of Jesus, okay, to her Jewish mother-in-law. And she gives this barley that satisfied her to part of her lunch. She gives it to Naomi. So then Naomi asks a very curious question in verse 19. She says to Ruth, "Where have you gleaned today?" Now, I don't know if this is like a little test on the part of Naomi. How big is Bethlehem? How many fields were in Bethlehem? How many brothers did Elimelech have? Didn't she know that her nephew had this Ponderosa-like field, you know? And where did you work? Then she said, "Blessed be the one who took notice of you." I mean, remember, they were destitute. It always amazes me that I have to say, quite truthfully, that Naomi couldn't figure out that Ruth had wound up in Boaz's field. And so when she hears that it's Boaz, and then, you know, then she connects the dots, she says in verse 20, "Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and to the dead. This man is a relation of ours. Kinsman redeemer, oh my, kinsman redeemer, if a relative went into debt because they had to sell their property, or they went into debt in any other way, the kinsman redeemer was there for that person. This is not exactly kinsman redeemer role, but the brother-in-law of the deceased, the brother-in-law, if that brother never had a child, okay, Ruth married Mahlon, Elimelech and Naomi's one of their sons. She had no child by Mahlon. So the brother of the deceased, being the brother of Elimelech, could marry the Gentile, the woman, Ruth. So questions, comments, I've been rambling.
Ruth married who?
Mahlon. And Mahlon means sickly. Mahlon. M-A-H-L-O-N. Mahlon. And Kilion. Orpah married Kilion. And Orpah means pining away. The two brothers. Sickly and pining away. Jeez. It's in the handout because it's really a more than a glimpse of the results of sin entering the world.
Imagine their Christmas card with their pictures and the name meanings below.
Yeah. Oh, look, they're sickly. They're pining away. He's still pining away. He looks a little more piney these days.
Yeah.
Well, they were, I don't know. We'll find out.
Love.
Yeah. Love is blind, right?
And sick.
Uh-huh.
Going back to verse 9 for a minute with the men drawing the water.
Yes.
Were those the Essenes in Jesus' day?
I know what you're thinking of, but, well, that's an interesting question. Because the Essenes were the ones who were more religious in Jesus' day. And they were mostly men, because there had been some disasters and a lot of the women were killed. And the men were the overriding teachers and followers of Judaism, you know, biblical Judaism, and they were looking for the Messiah. It's a man, Jesus told the disciples before the Passover Seder he was going to have with them, find the man who's carrying the pitcher of water. and he knows about the room that will have Passover.
That wasn't a
scene. It's thought that that person was in a scene. It doesn't say it in the Gospels, but it's thought. And the Essenes celebrated Passover a day before.
Okay, the others did. The Essenes looks like they started around 600 BC, but it looks like Ruth was like 1200 BC. So
yeah,
pre Essenes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. So you answered your question, and you gave us. So you answered your question. And you gave us more information.
Oh well. Well
so
I was
thank
curious
you.
If there was any connection, whether or not that was in the scene.
No.
If I was remembering correctly, that it was the Essene group with the men drew water. Being a unique scenario of Jesus.
But it is odd that they were drawing water, and I never observed that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. So let me see where we're going with this today. Let's look at 23, and I don't even have that in my handout. So Ruth 2:23, and it says, well, let's look at 22 and then go into 23. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with Boaz, young women, and that people do not meet you in any other field. Stay in that one field. So she stayed close by, Ruth did, by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. That's huge. It's huge because of what I said before, time-wise, in God's plan of redemption. Time-wise, that would be from Feast of First Fruits through to Pentecost, okay? And it's funny because at the Feast of Weeks, which is called Shavuot in the Jewish holiday and the Jewish community, Shavuot, and that's when the church was born. Pentecost means 50, and the Feast of Weeks, the Jewish people had to count 50 from the 50 days from the time of the Feast of First Fruits. But and that's where Jewish and Gentiles were put together in the body of Christ. So, you know, the body of Christ, the church was birthed at Pentecost. This all, and at the wheat harvest, it's all, didn't it make, aren't you excited? I was going to say, doesn't make a lot of sense. It's so a flat question. But it's exciting to see how God placed this in the Bible. It had inspired whomever wrote the book of Ruth, maybe Samuel, inspired him to lay out God's plan of redemption for both. So next week, we ain't starting it now. Sorry about that. But you know what? 3 and 4 will coincide. You can read about 3 in your handout, too. The handout is really short. It's just I talk too much. But next week, we find in Ruth 3, we find Ruth in a most secure spot. Yes, and Michelle has an announcement.
I just wanted to remind all of the ladies about next Saturday, we're going to have our first coffee clutch at the coffee plantation. So it'll be at 9 a.m. and I'll probably just send an email out all to you like early, probably just tomorrow. And if you want to reply, just to let us know if you think you'll be joining us, just so that Candy and I can get there early to grab a table and plan for something enough. Cheers.
That'd be great. Thank you for doing this, both of you, Michelle and Candy. Thank you. So, okay. Any questions, comments, problems, disagreements, anything? So, Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this group. Thank you for our opportunity to dig into your word. We pray, God, as we go on to service, Lord, we pray, Father, for Kevin as he shares the word. And we pray, Father, for listening ears on our part. And, Lord, that you might be glorified in all things. Bless this week. I pray, backing on to what Beth said for Rachel, she's going through the end, prayerfully, of COVID with Charles as he continues to have to wear this sling, Lord, and bandage, and he's in good spirits. Praise you. I pray that would be a real draw as he interacts with so many people during the week. Lord, we lift up this time. We lift up Haley's brother and Scott's son and Pat as they go to the other church together, and we pray, God, for his return, so to speak. Lord, we give you praise for all these things and more in Jesus' name. Amen.